The Chess Records catalog is an American institution. It was founded in Chicago by Phil and Leonard Chess in the 1950s and became the label that launched Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, Chuck Berry, and Bo Diddley.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. I use a cobra snake for a necktie.
Bo Diddley's Who Do You Love was part of the Chess Records rock and roll canon. Of course, it was later covered by The Doors. And now, there's a new album of music from the Chess catalog by Elise LeGros.
Use a cobra snake for a necktie. I got a brand new house on the roadside.
The album is called Playing Chess. It's Elise LeGros' debut album. She joins us now from the studios of the CBC in Toronto. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Did you listen to the Chess records growing up?
You know, I did, and I didn't realize that I was listening to Chess. Definitely, I mean, Etta James has been one of my favorite singers for a very long time. And, of course, you know, I was aware of Chuck Berry's hits, but I didn't realize that the common thread there was Chess.
You have some special guests on this album. We want to listen to a track that has Questlove and Captain Kirk Douglas from The Roots. This is Long and Lonely Nights. Together, Questlove has a special connection to this song.
He does. His father was Lee Andrews of Lee Andrews and the Hearts, mm-hmm. and he wrote that song. And I mean, when we were first talking about song selection, my producer Steve Greenberg threw out the possibility that, oh well, you know, this is you know, Questlove's dad wrote this song, and I wonder if we reached out to him, maybe he'd come in and play drums on it. And, you know, being a relatively unknown Canadian artist, I did not think that the likelihood of that was very high. So it was really a thrill to have him involved.
What's left for me to say?
What reaches you in particular about this music?
Well, honestly, I've been singing music from this era since I was a little girl. There's something about this early rock and roll and R&B that's just always had a place in my heart. I feel things deeply, and these songs are, you know, a lot of them are quite emotionally charged. And where there's less emotion, there's more narrative. So there's always something that you can sort of latch onto. And I am a songwriter, but I'm really a singer first. So, you know, trying to find songs that tell that kind of compelling story or weave a melody like that, it's hard to find these days.
Yeah. Etta James is a big influence, as you said.
Absolutely. And I was so thrilled to find a song of hers that had not been covered to death, you know, because obviously her big hits, there's a million covers of them. And I really wanted to try to find something unique here. And I think we did that in Can't Shake It, which was the song that she recorded, but that was never actually released.
You know, that little boy put some kissing on me, and I can't seem to shake it.
That's a great song.
You know, I love that song. That's one of my favorites on the album, especially this little whoa part.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I bet it's going to be covered plenty from now on.
Probably. You know, I mean, I'm a fan of Etta's, and I had never heard it. So I hope that, you know, there'll be some other girls out there that are big Etta fans that will hear this song and be singing it in their bedrooms or in their cars or, you know, even better, covering it themselves.
Yeah. What about You Can Never Tell or You Never Can Tell?
Well, this song has a really interesting story because, you know, I think like most people, my generation, my first experience with the song was that famous scene in Pulp Fiction with Uma and John doing the twist in that diner.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well.
And I fell in love with the song in that when I saw that film. So when it came around to researching for this record, obviously You Never Can Tell was near the top of the list to begin with, but it sort of moved up a few notches once my producer, Steve, in New York, he revealed that 40 years prior, having never heard Chuck Berry's recording, he stumbled upon a print of the lyric, and he wrote the melody that you hear on my album 40 years ago, just on his acoustic guitar, and then this melody swam around in his head for decades, and when it came around to doing this record, he sort of said, hey, you know, no pressure, but I wrote this melody 40 years ago.
Well, when Pierre found work, a little money coming worked out well.
Totally different song in your hands.
Absolutely. Well, it's I've had some people say that, you know, it's completely unrecognizable until they hear the line, C'est la vie.
C'est la vie, you never can tell.
Now that you've done your debut album, what do you learn from the Chess people, or maybe Etta James specifically, that you bring to your own work, do you think, or try to?
Well, I can already see some of the benefit of having studied this material on my own, because I've been writing my own material too, and that's the next frontier. Certainly my next album will continue with that sort of story of a live band and a girl in a room.
Elise LeGros, her debut album, Playing Chess. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Don't you know?